any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Bafangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Welcome to the event once again, where the Wisdom Circle with David Scorpio and Giuseppe Vaffangulo joined together with the Raw Deal to bring you a combined broadcast over Studio A and Studio B combined. We have today a return engagement from a sensational guest of the past, Russ Winter of Winter Watch. He's an expert on the deep state, the Knight Templar, and a host of other issues, and we're simply delighted to have him back with us here in the studio. Scorpio, alas, is otherwise engaged and won't be here today, but we look forward to his return in the near future. Giuseppe, have we our guest with us now?
Yes, the great Russ Winter is standing by on Skype. Russ, can you hear Jim? And Jim, can you hear Russ?
Loud and clear, gentlemen.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let me begin with a report, Russ, that General Mark Milley and a group of Israel First GOP senators pressured Donald Trump to assassinate General Qasem Soleimani, who, of course, had been responsible for the defeat of ISIS. He had been lured to Iraq, allegedly on a peace mission by our own State Department, and then was taken out in gross violation of Iraqi sovereignty, but also of, you know, any normal relations between states. This was a disgusting event. Anything about this report that surprises you?
Well, they try to bait Iran, and the only thing I would have to say about that whole incident is Iran showed amazing restraint and showed how diplomatic and I guess the term to use is restrained compared to these vampires that are attacking them. That's how I look at it. That was really a very aggressive act, because that guy was very highly thought of in Iran, and I mean, Iran is as Vin's promised revenge of some type, but I'm not aware of any revenge that they've extracted. Are you?
No, not as yet, but Iran has been the most peace-dedicated great nation in the world, having not launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1775. Russ, I know you can appreciate that. Since it constitutionally began its ratification in 1787, George Washington elected our first president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state. Would that could be said of us?
And of course, there's been meddling in Iran's affairs going back to the 1950s, where they threw out their, I forget the guy's name, but he was essentially a nationalist.
Mossadegh,
right. That was uncalled for. So if anybody really knows the history of that part of the world, you know, the United States was instrumental in baiting Iraq into attacking Iran and getting them involved into a war. So, I mean, it doesn't take too much brain cells to understand why Iran is pretty hostile. But restrained, I might add.
Well, it's embarrassing, Russ, that most Americans think our relations with Iran began in the controversial takeover of the U.S. Embassy in 1979.
Exactly.
But that was the Iranians in control of their own government, which we had sabotaged by a coup in 1953, engineered by the CIA. Kermit Roosevelt, a cousin of Teddy, was behind it all to regain control of oil for the British and U.S. Oil companies. I mean, it's truly disgusting that we stole democracy away from Iran, and yet the way it's presented to the American people, it's as though the Iranians struck the first blow. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yep, that's good history, James. I totally agree. I might add that my son has an Iranian wife. So if I have any grandkids, one of them is going to be a half Iranian. So, you know, there's some family ties there. She's not particularly pro-government. She's been kind of propagandized a little bit. But, I get the story. I get the story probably close more so than most.
Well, I traveled to Iran in 1914 to participate in a conference about international politics, and even present talk about Israeli complicity in the events of 9/11, where the Arab community has been wrongly accused of having a role there with the so-called 19 Islamic hijackers allegedly commandeering 4 commercial carriers and perpetrating these atrocities under the control of a guy off in Afghanistan, where half a dozen or more of these alleged suicide hijackers turned up alive and well the following day, made contact with the British media, and where Osama bin Laden was actually our man in Afghanistan. He was instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen, which they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes. He was an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman, an official of the agency, even visited him in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death in Afghanistan on 15 December 2001 from his medical maladies. It's tough to get those dialysis machines in and out of the caves in Afghanistan. There were local obituaries, both CNN and Fox reported his death on 26 December 2001. And Barack Obama nevertheless found it politically expedient to resuscitate him and have it die again in a staged raid on a compound in Pakistan in 2011 to position himself for a triumphal reelection as the guy who got the most wanted man in the world. But it was all political theater. It was a farce, Russ. Barack Obama, I think, will turn out in history to have been one of the absolute worst presidents who did the most damage to the United States of our entire history.
Yeah, and I have a good article if anybody wants to see the stagecraft used to present bin Laden. I forget the article, but you can look up bin Laden. I have it up maybe a couple years ago. And what I do is I bring forth all the doppelgangers they used in every sequence, news sequence where, quote unquote, bin Laden made an appearance or said something. And one time he looked like he spent a lot of time at the buffet table and was real gray. And then he would be lean and kind of dark. I mean, it was just a joke. They didn't even use good stagecraft. Stagecraft or the appearances of bin Laden was a farce. It's another one of those black magic things I keep talking about. You know, if you believe that, they got you.
I was the chair of Scholars for 9/11 Truth at the time, and we were reporting all the phony audios and videos attributed to Osama bin Laden, putting out press releases about it. Nick Kohlerstrom, PhD, historian of science, the author of Terror on the Tube, which is the leading book on the 7/7 subway bombings, did a piece for me about Osama bin Laden, 1947 to 2001, on my blog, where you can see photos of several of the fake Osamas they were using after his death in 2001. Giuseppe, your thoughts for Russ?
Well, first, my thoughts are, Jim, if you traveled to Iran in 1914, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You look really good for my thoughts for Russ are What an awesome article. I remember reading that, Russ, and chuckling at those pictures, especially the stand-in who looked like he kept hitting the fast food drive-through for the second Big Mac. It's, you know, it's weird, but you go all the way back to Edward Bernays, Freud's nephew, and the level of mind control that's been going on forever that the average American schlub just believes this stuff and drinks it. No, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid. They're swimming in the Kool-Aid pool. And so, Russ, what is it that makes people so obedient and compliant to toil under this brutal kekistocracy that we're under now?
Well, you know, the bin Laden thing is an example of why you have to focus, because most people don't quite remember what he looked like. So you see the first images, and then several years later, see, they space it real well. They kind of know how people's memories work. And so unless you're really paying attention, it's like it slips by. And then that's the black magic setting in. And the third time they do it, I don't know how many times they came up with the doppelgangers, but, you know, it probably would take even a highly intelligent person's a few times to figure it out. And you'd have to do the comparisons. And really, you need to do all the comparison to realize what a joke it is. And I would say a very tiny fraction of the population is going to get around to that. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of my missions. I mean, that's kind of why I write these articles and
right. Put
it out there.
I think my favorite thing about, as Jim observed a moment ago, was when the traitors in the Obama administration resurrected by then dead like 7-8 years.
A decade.
But they took that. They showed that picture of everyone looking on aghast, and I think what they were actually watching was a video of Oprah Winfrey defecating, and I think that's how they got that look.
You know, this kind of ties in a little bit, this general that Jim mentioned. What was it? What's his name again?
Miley?
He's a big rainbow coalition guy, right?
What a traitor. Unreal.
A big LGBT guy.
I'm sorry,
Russ. It turns out that Trump selected him because Obama had fired him and because others didn't like him, but they were clearly right about it. I mean, he was terrible. He's been disgusting. He has been promoting critical race theory. He wants to vax the entire military. Russ, think about the effects if the military gets vaxed. I have a new report here. 45,000 dead from COVID-19 within 3 days. I have another report here. Official data showed twice as many people have died due to the COVID-19 vaccines in 6 months than people who have died of COVID-19 in 15. I think vaccine the military is going to kill, literally, not just figuratively, kill our military, and we'll be unable to respond to an invasion, whether it comes from the United Nations or from the Chinese communists. I see this as a very serious problem.
Well, you know, when was it, about 10 years ago or 8 years ago? I forget exactly when Obama engaged in they did a pretty serious purge of the military.
You know
the details of that. And that was really big because they kind of cleared out a lot of the potential white hats in the military and began the process of just total infestation. And, you know, the infestation of the country has been very gradual, but there's periods of time, particularly under Obama, where it seemed to really pick up steam and they started bringing these people in. And then Trump did very little about them, or he would fall, you know, he didn't know either that, or he didn't know the personnel, or he had poor advisors, or he was just totally over his head, or I think in on it. That's kind of my theory. But anyway, the Obama administration really cleaned house on the better part of the military. What say you guys on that?
Jim covered that a lot. Jim, go ahead.
You're 100% correct, Ross, that he wiped out nearly 200 flag rank officers. These are generals and admirals. I believe it was on the basis of a filter of whether they're dedication was to the Constitution or to Barack Obama. And if it were to the Constitution, he sacked him. I mean, this is disgraceful. It's a violation of his oath of office. He ought to have been impeached. But sad to say, very few Americans were even aware of what was taking place at the time.
What happened to these guys? What happened to these military officers that were purged? Any idea?
Retired.
Any interesting stories there?
They just disappeared into civilian life and in obscurity, sad to say. Giuseppe has just put up a piece you have on the Neo-Stasi operatives rapidly taking control of America. Perhaps you could elaborate, Russ. It sounds as central to what's going on today as anything I can imagine.
Which ties together of the purge of a decade ago and with these traitorous true believers they have in place now.
Yeah, I call it the Neo-Stasi system because, I mean, I'm sure everybody's seeing these rather ridiculous calls on to turn in your neighbors and, you know, fake books sending out messages to their readers that, you know, you're reading what we're on to, you're reading extremist operations. There's just a lot of this intimidation going on. And I spotted something that really raised my eyebrow, so I wanted to go over this. There's a court document submitted as evidence in a bombshell civil rights lawsuit by a supervisory special agent, Karen Viltry, against the Department of Justice in Las Vegas's FBI counterterrorism units. And so when you open up the court documents and read what she says about the gentleman running this counterterrorism unit, it doesn't surprise me. So she said she complained about the misconduct and perverted behavior in the office. And then the supervisory special agent, Robert Bennett, nixed the whole thing. So she kind of went over his head, took it all the way up to the top, eventually filed the suit. So here are the details of the suit in the court records. Bennett, who's the big supervisor, appears to be a bisexual. He's also alleged to be a chronic alcoholic who kept a shotgun in his office, along with an LGBT rainbow dildo. Plaintiff alleges, this is going to give you a good idea what these counterterrorism people are like. The plaintiff alleges multiple instances of the agent taking drunk naps in FBI cars during work hours and blowing up her work phone with bizarre, incoherent messages, including one where he talks about wishing he could see Justin Bieber's penis. After fears of retaliation, after clashing with another agent, Viltry sent the text messages and comments to the FBI's Equal Employment Opportunities Department. Nothing happened to any of these guys. Instead, they were all promoted for what I considered sort of a false flag operation they did in Las Vegas against some white supremacists that were supposed to be framing some BLM. That one turned out to be sort of dicey, sketchy. I don't know if you guys remember that one. But anyway, while drunk and playing in his office with rainbow dildos, Bennett led his unit in the politically important domestic terror arrest of white men who the FBI were claiming were white supremacists planning to frame BLM for violence. And then he was also very instrumental in the Las Vegas false flag. Really? You're starting to get an idea who's running this stuff?
Yeah.
Isn't that revealing the characters of these people?
I was still on Facebook at the time, and one of my friends contacted the three closest hospitals to the concert area where the shooting had reportedly taken place to ask them whether they'd had any admittees with gunshot wounds that day. And all three of the hospitals reported no, the third thoughtfully adding, "I think you're calling about that drill, but no one was shot. You ought to check with the police." I took the phone numbers and called them myself to verify. Got the same answer, except the third had been gagged now and wouldn't offer any comment. She'd said too much. One of my research colleagues, Mona Alexis Presley, actually tracked those who were shown in the obituaries and found they were, when not merely Photoshop variations of each other based upon persons who died in different states or at different dates or from different causes of death. She also turned up the crime map for the concert area from like 8 p.m. that evening before the shooting occurred to 8 p.m. the following day. Of the two dozen or so reports there about crimes that occurred during that interval, they were all routine, burglary, assault and battery, disorderly conduct, not a single shooting offense among them. It was totally fabricated and fake, totally.
Not only was Bennett involved in Las Vegas, he's also responsible for investigating leads into Trump supporters who entered the Capitol on January 6th. And the head of the division, I guess it's SAC, his name is Rouse, gave him an award for his endeavor despite serious complaints about his behavior towards other agents. So this guy, I mean, what can you say? This tells me a lot. It tells me who they've really brought. They've just gone to the bottom of the barrel. It just shows what a cacistocracy and what a slime pond we're dealing with right now.
Well, Russ, the slime pond, I mean, can you believe the living glory hole, Joe Biden kneeling in front of some Satanist Israeli in the Oval Office, kneeling before the president of Israel? I mean, that is just so beyond embarrassing and disgusting, and yet there you go.
Well, you know who I now think is dead and right? Kay Griggs. You remember her?
Oh, long ago. She was a Washington Post columnist, wasn't she?
She nailed this thing. She really nailed the kind of people that they're bringing in. Have you ever looked at her?
Who is that? Who is
Kay
that?
Kay Griggs.
Yeah. I actually heard her. I've read her book. I saw her speak at a conference about 10 years ago. Yes.
I'm convinced she nailed it. I wasn't so sure when I first heard her 5 or 6 years ago. I thought maybe, well, it sounds like she might be hallucinating a little bit. I kind of was. But now that I see all these other things, I mean, the other clues are coming in, like what I've just mentioned about this counterterrorism group and the people that they're bringing in. But she basically said that, let me just kind of summarize what she said. She said, I had this marked second. Okay, she said that she was talking about the U.S. military. So her extended interview was in 1998, and then she did some other interviews over the next 8 years. And she said that the U.S. military is run by sexual deviants, mostly homosexuals, and that the U.S. military itself is a mind control operation. She termed the top cadre as, quote unquote, existentialist and members of the firm. And nihilists, and I write, this has compelling logic because this type of nihilism believes in the nothingness of human existence and in a do as thy wilt philosophy, sort of a Crowley philosophy, devoid of religions. And then she suggests that MK Ultra mind control operations are carried out on prime prospects as a partnership between organized crime, which she said was out of New York or New Jersey, and the military. And military personnel are involved in drug and secondary weapons sales using the highly successful opium wars model. And in the current, so now that they've actually purged anybody decent out of the military, this thing has gone into overdrives from what Kay Briggs was talking about 20 years ago. This is clearly what's happened.
Well, it's bizarre to hear those stories about the military. Of course, I was served 4 years in the Marine Corps, but that was quite a while back, 1962 to 66. And the Marine Corps was completely professional, no such nonsense there. By the way, Mirror in the chat room has pointed out that it's Millie, not Miley, that it's like a girl, Millie. I like that. Nice correction, Murr, because this guy is like a girl. He's a complete scumbag.
And he fits in exactly what I'm talking about here with this Kay Griggs commentary and this story out of Las Vegas. It's the same type of people, I'm telling you, that are totally in control now. We've been captured by a bunch of psychopaths. I mean, real psychopaths. I'm not talking about guys just, gaming a little bit or shit, trying to be what I call edge players. We're not talking about edge players here. We're talking about just really nasty individuals. And Kay Griggs said 20 years ago that it's a growth industry and it's growing exponentially. And I think that pretty much nails it. I think I've got one of the best articles on Kay Griggs' interview, and I have the interview. It's entitled, I'm going to send people to this, Ex-Wife of Highly Ranked Colonel Unveils the Deep State and Crime Syndicate, the Kay Griggs interview, dated June 23rd, 2021. I put it up about a month ago. Actually, I rewrote it and reran it. And I have her interviews, some comments on how you can kind of analyze people, whether they're being truthful or not, in terms of the context of how they speak. And I think she was dead on. I think she's very truthful. But the message was so profound that I think it's just automatically rejected by most people.
Well, you know what ties together both Jim's statement that when he was in the military, the Marine Corps, it was nothing but admirable Marines, and what you're saying is the idea for decades they've called the Pentagon and the individuals, the political operatives, even though they're in the military, the perfume princes of the Pentagon. They're all a bunch of phonies and porch climbers. And that's the case in the military, the FDA, the FBI, EPA, everywhere you have literally a majority of decent people, but at key positions, especially in DC or at the organizational head, you have political operatives who are loyal to the globalist state, not to the United States. And you don't need that many to steer the whole bus, don't you think?
I think they're really aggressive at getting these, not just the high-level officials in, but the medium-level officials. I think they've been very, very effective at just picking these people out, these psychopaths, and putting them into positions of power, whether it's school boards, whether it's, there's a really weird story. I don't know if you saw the story about the London Library bringing in the another dildo guy. They really like the dildos.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's not tough. I'm going to take a break and we'll be right back with Russ Winter here on The Offense. Stick with us.
Okay, I'll let this thing... Try to bring up this London Library story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
From Russ Winter of Winter Watch. We're going to be taking callers a second hour and questions from the chat room, so prepare yourself. The call-in number, the usual, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452 for Russ. A wonderful opportunity. He's so broad in his background and knowledge. Giuseppe, let's pick it up with more of this bizarre stuff. Russ seems to be putting his finger on a lot of incidents going on out there that reveal the profundity of the corruption to which the public and not only the U.S. but the U.K. are being subjected. This is a particularly stunning example. A London library forced to apologize for hiring a man in a rainbow dildo butt monkey costume for a children's literacy event. I mean, you can see the dildo hanging out there, Giuseppe. This is just grotesque.
Well, Jim, of course, we feel for all the flotsam and jetsam on the fringe of contemporary society. So we're gonna support him, or maybe not. It's shocking, Russ, that the library was forced to apologize. I'm stunned that in this politically correct, support every deviant possible, that the library was forced to apologize. What happened there?
Well, you know, the thing that really stood out to me was this agency that arranged the event on the behalf of the Red Bridge Council. So the Red Bridge Council, I guess they have a city council, arranged the event, and through this outfit called Vision RCL. So Vision RCL is the people that send this degeneracy out, these reprobates out to do their thing, you know, to broaden people's tolerance levels, I guess. You know, this is the next level of tolerance that you have to endure. And they had received £740,000, that's nearly $1 million, under the government's cultural recovery program. What a racket.
No,
you see the picture, you see the guy, you see the picture of this guy sticking his butt out in front of these scarfed Muslim women there at the store, Lidl, the store. You see that one?
Yeah. Oh my God. Let me scroll down to it.
So they apologized for the inappropriate costume, but early in the day, if you on social media, they were here's what they said. During an event, this is the library saying this, during the event put out the library today, there was a performance by a carnival arts company. Unfortunately, one of the animal costumes was inappropriate, which we were not aware of at the time of the booking. But then earlier in the day, they knew full well what had happened. It says, meddlesome monkey at the library. Did you catch the Mendiga Arts Trio for an impromptu visit and story? You know, they're just joking about it. And one guy says, the monkey is out of control, but when you got it, flaunt it, I suppose. So you got a degenerate there at the library.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's up here.
So just puts up on social media, if you got it, flaunt it.
Yep, that's it right there.
That's the mentality.
Well, Russ, don't you think that what is occurring is the international globalists, which worship some type of dark god? Some people say Baal or Baal, and it's all about child sacrifice, adrenochrome, blood swilling, you name it. And they're trying to shift the Overton window to the idea that, well, you know, in the 80s, we're going to have to legalize homosexual marriage because there's so many nice homosexuals and they deserve to be married too. And so that was achieved after about 20 years. And so now they're moving, oh, these transgender, they're so tortured and they're so, I feel so bad for them. They've mutilated themselves and that's acceptable now. But their ultimate goal is the internationalist Jew is trying to drive pedophile to be normal. And that's their next step. And so if you get to where some psychopath, narcissistic subhuman can walk around in a dildo and with his ass hanging out and you joke about it, the next step is, oh, sure, you can marry that 5-year-old rabbi, no problem. I mean,
this money that went to this government cultural recovery program and went to this group, this arts group, that's no accident.
Exactly.
It's happening. If you've heard Handel and Razor, you know, never tribute to malice what can be attributed to incompetence. BS.
Right.
Total BS. This is deliberate behavior going on. Somebody at some level said, let's give these yahoos a lot of money, not a little bit of money, a lot of money, and just turn them loose on the community and see what we can get away with. Now, they kind of got caught on this one, but that, it, you know, there's more of this going on. I mean, look at the Mondego Arts Wild World Heroes on their own site. The guy's dancing around with a dildo.
Yep. Let's see if I can find that picture here. There it is, right there, Mendigo Arts.
You see the butt on the other picture of them where they're doing some acrobatic moves, and they're all dressed up in their little rainbow stuff because they're trying to associate rainbow with love.
Right, right.
That's mind control.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the globalist end goal is to, instead, real government should champion the decent vast majority in a first world country. But instead, the fact that the internationalist Jew, the king and queen of all deviants, gets to champion the flotsam and jetsam, the transgender, the violent narcissist, I'm no longer a male or female, I'm non-binary, all this narcissistic mental illness, that's now being championed in the globalist controlled mass media. And yet the family, the decent people who work hard trying to have a small business that has been decimated by this scamdemic and this lockdown. And guess what's coming in a few months again? I guarantee it, it's coming. It's just, these globalists are just out to destroy anything that's decent in the first world, don't you think?
Yeah, and Torchy wrote this article, and she got one really good lick in, and I just have to read this to you. So she says, so let me see if I got this straight, so to speak. In this globalist, inclusionary, hyper-tolerant culture of New Underworld Order Britain, we see swaths of women, Muslim women, subjecting themselves to men by hiding under hijabs, while homosexual men get paid from public coffers for prancing around bare-assed on the street and swinging dildos in front of children while critical theory types at the levers of power are celebrating it and labeling it as quote-unquote education. Well put. So I,
that's enough on that one.
And right, then I spotted this other one about the three-year-old story. And this is this illustrates it too. This is a dossier released by a former senior United Nations official reveals that the United Nations employees have carried out over 60,000 rapes in the last decade. What's more, the dossier estimates that the organization currently employs at least 3,300 pedophiles.
Oh, my God. Did you give me a link?
The problem has gotten so out of hand that it's prompted the former UN insider, Andrew McLeod, to blow the whistle, hand over the evidence to the Britain's Department of International Development. But I don't think anything's come of it. They just leave them there, probably hiring more of them.
By the way, Rasmussen on Friday released its latest poll on American trust in the media, specifically asking respondents if they agreed with President Trump's assessment that the news media are truly the enemy of the people. They found 58% of respondents agreed with the statement, 34% strongly, 24% somewhat, 36% did not agree, only 6% were unsure. Among conservatives, the sentiment was shared by 81%, with 56% strongly agreeing, 25% somewhat agreeing. Liberals, of course, weren't on board. 68% disagreed, 54% strongly, 14 somewhat. But there were even liberals who believe the news media is the enemy of the people. Those are the ones who still have a functioning brain. A total of 30% agreed, 11% strongly, 19 somewhat. It's a fascinating development. He also asked how serious the problem is fake news in the media. And get this, 83% of likely voters said it was either very serious, 55%, or somewhat serious. The largest percentage came from conservatives, 91%. But even 73% of self-identified liberals believe fake news is a problem. I think that shows real progress. In my opinion, one of the greatest contributions Donald Trump has made to America is letting us, making America aware that most of the media is trading on politically slanted news that frequently has no basis whatsoever in reality, and that they're constantly lying with statistics, making up stories, and promoting a political agenda, abdicating their responsibility as envisioned by the founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson was even once asked if he'd prefer a country with newspapers and no government or a government and no newspapers. And he said he'd prefer the former over the latter, but he never had any imagination of the degree of corruption manifest by the mainstream today, where even the New York Times is better known as the Langley Newsletter. Disgusting beyond belief.
Yeah, it's more infestation and infiltration. And there's another, you know, there's another story that came out over the weekend. The Daily Mail reported, and I bet you guys have some insights into this because you're going to listen to this name, this Pegasus name. It says activists, journalists, and politicians around the world have been spied upon using cell phone malware developed by a private Israeli firm. It emerged Sunday. This is the Daily Mail, so this is actually a mainstream source. Igniting fears of widespread privacy and rights abuses. The use of the software called Pegasus, developed by an Israeli NSO group, was exposed in a data leak containing 50,000 phone numbers that belonged to people targeted by NSO clients. Now, it's clients, not necessarily just governments. That's important to consider. They're private people doing this stuff, you know, with impunity.
Well, Russ, the private people are former Israeli Unit 8200, former Talpiot, former the new prime minister was head of one, I think it was called Unit 96 or 9600. And then they go into, quote, private industry to feather their nest, but they're still serving the Rothschild agenda.
Yeah, and they're able to do this stuff as private firms or private intelligence without impunity. Nobody bothers them. It's amazing. So researchers say the software has become much more sophisticated, exploiting vulnerabilities and common phone apps to launch so-called zero-click attacks, which can infect devices without the user doing anything. That's a pathway for doing the same thing that Obama did in the military a decade ago, purging. This type of intelligence and data spyware allows you to purge. All you have to do is identify somebody. This guy's a little bit difficult. He's not really on our team. Bye-bye. That's how they do it. And that, yeah. and that's where you've come to this final conclusion where the news is just fake.
Oh, it's
Russell,
beyond.
I got to congratulate you not only on a great selection of stories that get well beneath the surface into the reality of things, but your presentation, the photos you use, the images, the way your blog is laid out, I'm very, very impressed. And I've got a lot of experience with this. It's outstanding what you're doing here.
Thanks. And you're a walking encyclopedia of all this stuff. So what do you know about this Pegasus? This has been around a while. Isn't this what this Danny Castellaro was murdered over?
Yeah, the octopus, right. The promised software, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this Pegasus is not a, this is an old story. And now here it is coming out all of a sudden. It's been around for decades.
That's great on you picking it up. By the way, we have, you know, so many who are hesitant to take the jab are being attacked as though they were morons or ignorant. We have an MIT study that vaccine hesitancy is highly informed, scientifically literate, and sophisticated. It turns out to depend on a cost-benefit analysis that if you follow the data, you can very well conclude that the risk involved in taking the jab outweigh the benefits. In fact, I think anyone who's taken a serious look would arrive at that conclusion. And where it turns out that the older you are, the denser your community, the more likely you are to be vaccinated. The younger you are, the more rural your community, the less likely you are to have gotten it, which reflects what the author here is taking to be the real risk from the vaccine, not understanding the pandemic as a phantom, that it's a mass illusion. But they have the directional thinking correct. Those who are in less danger act like it. Why should the same mandate obtain for those who live in New York City and those who live in rural South Dakota, for example, which is why vaccine choice is so important? In fact, it's remarkable that the Democrats for decades and decades have been emphasizing in relation to their support for abortion, my body, my choice. But when it comes to the vaccine, that has been tossed off the window. It remains the case. My body, my choice, for God's sake, if you possibly can, avoid taking the vax. The damage, the risk to you are overwhelmingly greater than the benefits, as Giuseppe will confirm.
Oh, my God, that's absolutely true. And I would also state and get Russ's thoughts on it that it is no longer fake news, Russ. It is now distilled down like coffee, a stronger coffee's espresso. This is out and out gaslighting. I mean, the federal government is traitorous when it comes to serving the criminal cabal known as Big Pharma. In fact, they've been lying. Oh, we got to 70%. The reality is only 42% of all United States citizens have been taken full vaccination. And one jab has taken people up to around 46%. They're not even going to get to 50% because people understand this is an illegal experiment on the human animal. This should not be happening. This has been farcical and staged since it began. I mean, data starting to come out that, you know, the so-called SARS-CoV-2 was actually released years earlier and slowly worked its way into the traditional cold flu season. This is just insane, Russ, and it's getting worse because, you know, in Europe, my God, look at what they're trying to do in France now. We're mandate you can't even go buy food unless you have the deadly injection. What the hell? I mean, I cannot believe Macron and his wife aren't being dragged through the streets tied to bumpers.
Yeah, everybody's experimenting with this idea of vaccine. You know, no vaccine, you can't go to restaurants and things like that. I think they're kind of dry running the idea of that even here in the Czech Republic, which would just be a really bad sign. You can't go to a restaurant without a vaccine. In Russia, they're starting to do that. Now, nobody's enforcing it. Here's what they're talking about. You get a 10,000 Corona fine. That's $460 if you're caught in a restaurant without a vaccine certificate, but the restaurants don't have to enforce it. So they're not going to be doing anything about it. You know, they know you as a customer. They see you come in there. They're not going to ask for anything. So instead, it means the police have to start showing up in these restaurants and checking people's papers. Let me see your papers, sir.
Which gets back to your first article about the Kakistocracy Stasi state. It's unbelievable.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, I don't know that. I kind of wonder if the police are really going to be very dedicated to this. I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine very many police putting up with this and writing somebody a $460 ticket for not being vaccinated in a restaurant. That's a big hurdle to clear. So it may never get off the ground. I think they're just trying to bluff it so that people in the back of their minds go, well, I might as well capitulate and go get the vaccine. And unfortunately, I think a lot of that is happening.
Well, John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, which takes a keen interest in all these issues, has given us the bottom line. These agents are coming to your home with one purpose in mind, to collect information on you. It's a form of intimidation, of course. You shouldn't answer any questions you're uncomfortable answering about your vaccine history or anything else. The more information you give them, the more it can be used against you. Just ask them politely but firmly to leave. In this case, as in so many interactions with government agents, the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments and your cell phone recording the encounter are your best protection. Under the First Amendment, you don't have to speak to government officials or anyone else. You do not have to open your door or answer the bell. The Fourth Amendment protects you against unreasonable searches and seizures. And under the Fifth, you have the right to remain silent and not say anything which might be used against you. It's odd that this should be going on, but I agree, it's a form of intimidation. I don't think if they start doing this, it's going to end well. A lot of people are going to be very pissed off. But it has been the case in the past that when governments have done these no-knock raids or knock-and-talks, they've had very bad effects, especially from not identifying themselves, which presumably would not be the case here with these vaccination inquiries. For example, although 26-year-old Scott Andrew had committed no crime, never filed a single bullet or threatened police, he was gunned down by cops who knocked aggressively on the wrong door at 1:30 a.m., failed to identify themselves as police, and reportedly shot and killed Scott when he answered the door holding a gun in self-defense. Here's another. Carl Dykes was shot in the face by a county deputy, pounded on Dykes' door in the middle of the night without identifying himself. Because of reports that inmates had escaped from a local jail, Dykes brought a shotgun with him when he answered the door. As these and other incidents make clear, while Americans have a constitutional right to question the legality of a police action or resist an unlawful police order, doing so can often get one arrested, shot, or killed. I think just not answering the door, not responding, it turns out they only have the right to be there to accomplish a relevant and necessary purpose. And if it's simply to give you information, they could leave a brochure at your door, which wouldn't require any direct interaction whatsoever. But I do believe this is not going to play out well if they persist in following up this approach being advocated by the puppet Joe Biden, who appears to be, by the way, not even the real guy, the former senator for Delaware, but an actor in his stead. Ross.
Well, it really depends on how infested the police are with neo-Stasi. And I don't really know the answer to that. Somehow, I kind of believe many police are pretty decent people, But I'm continually surprised by how much infestation there is and how many bad actors they kind of get into the positions to do this stuff. You know, start knocking on people's doors, start showing up in restaurants and issuing tickets. That remains to be seen. You know, I'm seeing stuff like out of Los Angeles County, the sheriff out there said, no, we're not enforcing any of this stuff. So there is blowback from the police itself that might tell you that the full infestation by the neo-Stasi isn't quite there yet.
Well, it's so blatantly political. You know, when does the government mandate, you know, specific medical procedures on Americans? This is outrageous as it gets. Let me remind you, reiterate, we are going to take callers the second hour after the break. The number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. We'll also take him from the chat room. So those in the chat room, and there's a lot of activity going on there, can simply post their question, and I or Giuseppe will pose it to Russ Winter, where he is the editor of Winter Watch, is doing, in my opinion, a spectacular job. This has to be one of the best blogs on the internet. I invite everyone to check it out. We're coming up to the break. Russ, would you like to squeeze in a comment before we hit it?
Well, I real quick, I went back and wrote another article. I went back and looked at the Vault 7. Remember Vault 7 2017 and how that became kind of a vapor issue? That was really big. That's full flowering of the neo-Stasi, because the WikiLeaks at the time, as you recall, released about 8,700 CIA documents detailing the agency's hacking and spying of smartphones, routers, computers, televisions, automobiles. And it was just the thing that really stood out again. And I think that everybody tends to look at the government being behind all this. But the big item that stood out is Obama's CIA built the most powerful cyber attack arsenal, costing the U.S. taxpayers $100 billion, and then they lost it all to, quote-unquote, the enemy for free. So somehow they lost all this technology to this rogue private sector, private intelligence out there. And so I think the focus really needs to shift to this private intelligence oligarch system that's working out there, because they've got the technology.
Here, your call. Catch you on.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet?
I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, this is Jim Fetcher. Winter back. I want to comment before taking our first caller on a remark from the chat room that the older brother died in Boston, so that nobody died in Boston isn't correct. Well, just to be precise, nobody died during the Boston bombing. He didn't die during the bombing. He died later. It is true. He died while he was in police custody. Think about it. We have photographs of Tamerlan being taken into police custody, stripped naked and put into the cop car. And the next time we see him, he's lying on a slab with a huge gash in his side. I would say there's somewhat of a... So his brother, Zocher, cannot have done it. They even created a fake Patriot game movie starring Kevin Bacon, in which they fabricate a shootout between the police and Tamerlan and Zocher in Watertown that never took place, where Zocher allegedly tried to escape and inadvertently ran over his brother. It's just nonsense. They're just making this stuff up. They're writing their own history. There's a bit of a parallel in Las Vegas because nobody died in the concert crowd, which was seated with as many as 500 crisis actors from Crowds on Demand recruited. But we do have one body on the 32nd floor. Whether or not it's Stephen Paddock, however, is a good question, because the body that was undergoing autopsy did not have a height that corresponded with a hunting and fishing license for Stephen Paddock. So that's a good question, too. I like raising the point, though, because it emphasizes how the whole Boston bombing, like Sandy Hook, like Charlottesville, Parkland, and Las Vegas were all contrived events, manufactured primarily to promote gun control, but in Boston also to subvert the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizures and posse comitatus a statute from 1878 that precludes the use of military force to perform police function. Remember, Boston was inundated with military force. They locked down the whole city in pursuit of a 19-year-old college student who actually had nothing to do with the crime. So we're going to take our first caller, Bruce from Texas, standing by. Bruce, go ahead. Join us.
Here, do you hear me okay, first of all?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm going to stick with y'all's topic, and then I like to switch to something that you might like, Jim. In this assassination of the president of Haiti, that team they captured, I think that there are teams like that that have been operating in the United States globally, at least in the Western countries, for a very long time, and they just happened to catch one. It's probably an ill-formed group, but I think that's the mold that they have. They have these mercenaries that basically have a license to kill, you know, and it goes way back.
Well, we have an interesting report from a fellow named Clarence Malcolm, who's had dreams that have come true, who's suggesting he's had a dream repeatedly now of a team out to assassinate President Trump. I think we could all agree that's been an agenda they've had for some time. I've been told there have been at least 12 attempts to take out Trump, but he is giving a nice summary of the reasons the deep state wants to take him out. Number one, he's doing his rallies, drawing gigantic crowds. Number two, promoting or endorsing non-Rhino GOP candidates across the nation and displacing Democratic Party politicians. Number three, he's actively and aggressively exposing the massive felony 2020 presidential election fraud and treason, along with big media, big tech, social media, and the Democratic Party's intentional complicity. Number four, waking up millions of Americans to the massive entrenched crime and corruption in Washington, D.C., the DNC, big tech, and the mass media, thereby further eroding public trust in the government and controlled news bureaus. Fifth, is planning on running for president in 2024, and after a certain victory will reverse everything illegitimate POTUS Biden, a deep state puppet, has done to destroy the U.S. He had a previous dream about his boss, former boss Ken Gunderson, being assassinated when he stopped to take a leak at a rest stop by three men who came in and then knifed him to death. He shared it with that Gunderson. Gunderson subsequently told him he thought he'd saved him from disaster because he was on a trip and stopped to take a leak and noticed three men get out of a car and head his direction. He acted like he'd forgot something, got back in his car and drove away, but he was convinced this guy was right. On the other hand, I'm sure Russ will agree, we don't really need a dream to confirm that the deep state has powerful motives for assassinating Donald Trump. In my opinion, he's the one guy who could put a stop to all these shenanigans, love him or hate him, for all his warts and shortcomings. He's nevertheless, in my judgment, really dedicated to the best interests of the nation. Russ, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not a Trump fan, so, I mean, I don't really have too much to say about that, other than to say that I'm going to make sure I go to the bathroom before I leave the house. Not going to be going into any public toilets. I'll avoid that. But to be honest with you, to be serious, I think that there are assassination teams out there, not just after Trump, but a lot of other people. And a lot of people get killed that you don't even know about. They're just sort of a little bit below the radar. I think there's a lot of that going on. It's kind of how they clear the deck and make way for their criminal friends to kind of take over different positions, mayors, police chiefs, sheriffs, whatever. I mean, there's a real underlying story there that I can't verify, but I just feel it really deep down inside that there's a tremendous amount of kind of quiet hits going on.
Well, a lot of them aren't so quiet. In the last 5-6 years, there's been nearly 200 whistleblowers, naturopaths, natural practitioners, former employees of Big Pharma that are revealing and have been murdered for revealing the knowledge that some of the toxins intentionally inserted into vaccines are intended to give the recipient cancer. And that's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. And over the last 3-4 years, there's been nearly 200 Fauci minion PhD level biochemists that have been wiped out because they were at risk for revealing the whole COVID-19 scamdemic. So a lot of this stuff isn't in the shadows, Russ. They just blatantly are killing people they believe are risks and wielding the truth.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you have further questions or comments for Russell?
Yeah, I was going to say the movie Munich, about the Mossad team going after PLO funders and figures after the 1972 Berlin Olympic Games shooting of the Israeli team. I think that was kind of like an in-your-face, this is what we can do internationally. It was kind of like a little promo piece for the Mossad.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Happy you want to
Oh, no, Bruce is right. That's a great point. And how they glorify anything that these Satanists do and in service of the Rothschild global banking cabal. I mean, they're merciless. They're absolutely Machiavellian in who they murder. They do it in broad daylight. But they're so psychopathic and narcissistic in their cult membership. They believe they're doing it because they're the chosen people.
Well, there's also a lot of victimization. I wrote a story on the Dutroux affair in Belgium in the 1990s. That's a story everybody should be familiar with. And there's a surviving documentary that's still left about that affair. It's still up on YouTube as of the last time I checked. I put that up a week ago. I would recommend everybody understand that story because what they're doing there is it's part of their compromise, but they're moving beyond just pederasty or pedophilia. They're going to murder. And so they were rounding up these girls, and I there's some very heavy hitters involved in that. They almost brought the whole Belgian government down in a white revolution, but they got it under control and did some kind of a phony investigation and placated people. And that's another pattern they do. So they're using really serious criminal activity like murdering of children or little girls, in this case, young girls, to compromise and get this stuff all on film. And I kind of think maybe Epstein may have been doing that too. It kind of feels that way. Maybe not quite as severe as Dutroux, but something like that.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think you factor in Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, however you say her first name, and that's exactly what they were doing. I mean, there's testimony from some of those girls who for years, you know, over a decade, 20 years, have been claiming what was being done by Epstein and Maxwell, and they filed civil suits. And it's all publicly there if you look for it.
100% correct. Absolutely. And it was appears to have been an Israeli honeypot kind of operation, compromising very prominent figures up to and including the Chief Justice of the United States. I mean, this is shocking. Very celebrated attorney, stated that the reason for declining the Texas lawsuit was the Supreme Court was because Justice Roberts had been compromised. And that they had him on, you know, all kinds of issues, including, it appears, even illegal adoption of two young boys from, I believe it may have been Wales. And there are all kinds of profoundly troubling aspects to this. Bill Clinton, of course, took as many as 26 flights on the Lolita Express. I believe Chuck Schumer was probably implicated. Alan Dershowitz was involved. Some of these people have done good things. Alan Dershowitz has done some good things, but there are questions here that remain about his entanglements with Jeffrey Epstein, one of the most disgusting episodes in American history, but in my judgment, 100% an Israeli op to control the American government. Russ.
Yeah, and just very extensive. You know, there's talk about bodies being offshore in the Virgin Islands. I mean, you know, the problem is when you speculate that like this, it kind of makes us look bad. But then you find out down the road it's true. You know, I have a little meme that I put up, and it says, does anybody have any good conspiracy theories? Because all mine have come true.
Yeah. Good. By the way, well, we have a number of questions coming out of the chat room about Trump's role, you know, in Warp Speed and all that. They hold that this very much against him. And obviously, there's a legitimate question here. I'm inclined to believe that he saw this was coming and wanted to make sure it was done on an experimental and therefore voluntary, non-mandatory basis. But, you know, I'm certainly open to discussion and debate. Let's begin with your thoughts, Russ, and then we'll go to Giuseppe.
I just think he's weak. You know, he got taken to the cleaners all through 2020 on all kinds of issues like that and was outmaneuvered, outgunned, put up just very feeble resistance. I just think he was kind of just really in over his head. Maybe that was the whole idea of Trump. I call him a Trojan horse. Maybe he wasn't quite a Trojan horse, but he was just so far in over his head. And the controls are so severe that I kind of wonder how any well-meaning president would do in this system right now. This, I call it the sistema, because there's just total capture everywhere. You know, how do you deal with these blue cities, these blue states? You know, we have kind of a federal system that limits the power of the president to do that type of thing. You just got to really be good. You need like an inspector general. You need a cadre of highly dedicated police officials to, you know, go after the corruption. And the guy he brought in, Bill Barr, was just completely the other opposite end of the spectrum on that. Totally worthless. You can't do this with Attorney General Barr as your Attorney General. That's a critical mistake.
I think he undermined Trump on any number of issues. Just simply Trump's role in relation to the vax. Your thoughts?
I think that Donald Trump was the consummate chameleon in his whole career. He's a driven champion of the Trump brand. And when he got out and was running for the presidency, I think he was intended to be a misdirect and to release the pressure from the Patriot / militia movement. So you put in someone who you're controlling to lead the Patriot and militia so they present no actual threat to the government. But I think once Trump got out there and was meeting all these real decent Americans, he realized that he could do some positive things. For example, he was going to put Robert F. Kennedy Jr. into investigate vaccine commission and many other great ideas, pull us completely out of the Middle East, bring back manufacturing, commit to making the United States a real economy again, a physical economy. And then I'll never forget when he was elected, he was supposed to meet with Obama for like 20 minutes, and it turned out to be nearly 2 hours. And when Trump came out, he looked real nervous and a little pale, and he kept flashing Illuminati symbols constantly. And I believe he got the talking to. And ever since then, I think that the reason they vilify Trump so much is because he still remembers what he was exposed to in the real America, and he's not completely committed to the New World Order. And they view him as a wild card. And so I think Trump is essentially, for his 4 years, were like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. He had to constantly hop around and serve the Zionist bankers who really control him, his future, his children's future. He was trying to placate his beloved base, and at the same time, he understood the reality of staying alive. So I think that's what Trump was doing.
There's some in the chat room talking about Trump in relation to Epstein, but I think that's mistaken. There are photographs, of course, with him and Melania with Epstein and Gesslin. My understanding, however, is that at Mar-a-Lago, he discovered that Gesslin was trying to recruit some girls, and Trump had kicked out of Mar-a-Lago. I don't believe for a second Trump believes in child pornography or child abuse or pedophilia. I think he's adamantly opposed to it. And everything I have heard is that one of the objectives of his administration is to clean out the stable when it comes to pedophilia. I remain very much a strong believer in Donald Trump, notwithstanding his shortcomings. And therefore, I was fascinated about the idea that this attack on General Soleimani, which I condemned at the time, was something he was threatened with, including by a group of some 17 GOP Israel First senators who would have been sufficient to bring about the impeachment of Donald Trump, I believe, had they thrown in with the Democrats, so that he was really between a rock and a hard place. Let me go back to...
You know, and probably on a lot of other issues as well. Exactly that whole Soleimani thing you just described is probably how that plays off, just on a whole checklist of issues, because they got him compromised too.
And, you know, I'd like to observe that you guys didn't think that Iran got not revenge, but parity. And if you remember, a few months after, they killed a high-ranking NATO official who was a real rat bastard for the globalists. So that was their version of on the chessboard taking out one of the globalists.
I don't think that would be sufficient. Soleimani was a great man and really an instrument bringing peace to the Middle East. So the Israelis despised him and putting pressure on Trump. This is what they do. This is the reason we had 9/11, of course, which was a brainchild of Ehud Olmert and Bibi Netanyahu back in the 1980s to find a way to draw the U.S. military into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran, which they fear the most. Let me just add, there are those in the chat room who'd love if Brew and Paul would call in. So I want to invite them, Brew in Chicago and Paul in California. The phone number is still the same, 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, we have Scaredy Cat on the line. Scaredy, join us.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah. Russ.
No, that's Bruce. Bruce from Texas.
Oh, Bruce. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Bruce. If you had a further question, go ahead.
This is real quick, and I'll let Scaredy Cat. Sorry, Scaredy Cat. How about the Milwaukee Bucks, man? That was something else. It was something else, not only for a basketball team. I know it's sports ball.
It's but only
to see 60,000 people all playing together.
Chip and their star player scored 50 points. It was awesome. My son-in-law was born in Milwaukee. He and his father watched a game together, and I'm sure they were overjoyed. Nice point, Bruce. Thanks for calling in. Meanwhile, Scaredy, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim, and hello also to Russ, Giuseppe, and Bruce from Texas, and I think Mitch is there too. So I really want one of you gentlemen, one of your news magazines, to actually become the newspaper of record, which people normally call the, let's say, the New York Times. And I think I would like to write a little pamphlet, like a little blurb on why we can't trust that other one. And I don't ever in my life want to mention it again and give it publicity. But like maybe three or four huge harms they have done to the world. I mean, even going back maybe 100 years ago, all the Jew media got together to frame a poor black man, an African-American, I think he was a janitor, for the rape that a wealthy Jew had committed, a rape and murder of a young girl.
Yeah, Leo Frank was his name.
Leo Frank. And I'm not sure if that paper that we mentioned also participated in that. But going back that far, maybe lying us into World War One, lying us into the Iraq War, if there are three or four particularly hugely monstrous articles, we listeners rely on you gentlemen for, you know, reality. However, we are just ordinary people, and we cannot recreate your lives. Like every article, every interview, and you are so busy. All of you, I think, are doing a dozen articles or interviews a day, it seems. So to follow three dozen, you know, scores and scores of articles and interviews becomes impossible. So if there, every now and then, if you could write a summary article, or even now, just this point of that newspaper, what are three or four blatant, horrendous lies that harmed humanity and the world? If you could tell us that, or maybe write an article, so then I could take that and make a little blurb, like a little pamphlet, like a little half sheet, and say, okay, never believe, never read that paper again. Instead, read these, which are the real newspapers of record.
That paper is one of my favorite targets. I go after them all the time. You could probably do a search under the term New York Slimes. I don't call on the New York Times. I call on the New York Slimes, and come up with a lot. And they're so criminal that it even goes beyond even two or three examples. It's just nonstop. A horrible institution. But my site's full of attacks and examples of that on the New York Slimes. At one point, New York Slimes did a cheap shot on me.
Scaredy something you could even do might be to just index or recommend articles in Winter Watch. You know, Winter Watch, I think, is doing just a sensational job. Do you have other questions or comments at the moment?
Yeah. So that's very good. I will do that because I really want to tell people, instead of me listening and learning, I know, you know, the human, there are bad humans out there harming the rest of us, the few harming the many. And so I'm starting to become a volcano. Like I want to burst and actually do something, not keep listening. So that will be good.
There's one good story that New York Slimes is involved in that I did a pretty good account of, the Walter Duranty story. Walter Duranty was a New York Slimes reporter that basically worked for Stalin, and, you know, showed up and covered up the whole Ukraine Holodomor. And
turn with Winter right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the people stations.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We're here with Russ Winter from Winter Watch, which is an absolutely sensational blog. It has to be one of the best on the internet. Scaredy Cat has been raising some questions with Russ. We had the break here. Scaredy, would you like to repose your question for Russ to reply?
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. Russ was just in the middle of saying, mentioning a couple of articles. So that's what I need and want is guidance. I know there's lots of material, but just point me to a couple of really good, effective ones.
Yeah, great question. You know, great question. And I have one that I think really will work. Now, it's hidden history. It's, you know, it's a little goes back to like the 1930s, but this is when all this stuff went down. It kind of established a pattern. The article is called Portrait of Evil, Walter Duranty, the New York Slimes. New York Times, Marsco, bureau chief who deliberately hid Soviet-imposed famine that killed millions in the Ukraine. And that guy was personally responsible for hiding the crimes that the communists and the Bolsheviks were doing in the Ukraine, starving people. You know, millions of people died. It was a genocide, a major genocide that went down that the New York Times to this day kind of has played a role in poo-pooing and diminishing. And this guy, they hired a criminal, this Duranty, to run cover on this whole operation. He was a lieutenant of, he was highly corruptible, easily bought off, controlled by Stalin. You know, they even managed to get him a Pulitzer Prize for his little dirty deeds. That's a good one. That'll go right to the heart of your question, just how nasty paper they are historically.
Scaredy.
Wonderful.
But,
go ahead.
I'd like to mention a couple comments in the chat room. Here's one. Our government is killing us. My daughter was diagnosed with COVID yesterday. The first time they wanted to know if she got the jab. She said, no, she will not get it. They treated her badly. Then she refused to get a new experimental medication called the cocktail. She demanded more information about it. When they brought it to her, the medical consent form clearly stated it was not FDA approved. We're under medical tyranny. It should be my body, my choice. I couldn't agree more. Another comment, and here I think when you look at the jab as, you know, those who want to give you the jab are committing assault with a deadly weapon. How come nobody has bombed one of these bullshit distribution centers to hell? Others are adding their agreement with that thought. I want to say, I think it's very, very bad what's going on here, and that, you know, trying to wipe out millions of Americans is a very, very bad thing. Russ, your thoughts?
I think you just got to resist on an individual level and just refuse the vaccine. Take care of yourself. You know, I've been focusing a little bit more on not trying to save the world anymore. I've kind of given up on that. A lot of people are going to go down and be harmed. And I think you just got to, you know, start taking care of your own and your family. It's pretty hard to even take care of family because a lot of people fall by the wayside and get this vaccine. I'm having that happen a lot in my family. So sometimes I just feel like it's just me.
Same,
you know, my issue.
Hey, Russell, we have other reports. 5 JetBlue airline pilots dead. Media intentionally hiding vax fears. 5 JetBlue Airlines pilots are confirmed dead. Current JetBlue pilot whistleblower confirms push for jabs continues. FDA knew on October 22nd, 2020, that the death jab would maim and kill, cause heart damage, blood clotting, and ravage children. The very idea of giving children the jab is just disgusting, disgusting beyond belief. For the second week in a row, more COVID-19 vaccination deaths and COVID-19 deaths in the U.S., according to the CDC and AVER's websites. And when you look at the graph, it's absolutely stunning, virtually a flat line up until now. And then it's just virtually perpendicular, growing by thousands and thousands. And of course, we know the VERS website only presents 1% of the population. I think the situation is dire. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Oh, it's absolutely dire. It's absolute madness because the so-called every variant is just a mutation caused by the deadly genetic modifying experimental injection. There is no more COVID-19 now. This is all just the shedding or transmission from vaccinated people. And yet these subhuman traitors blame the unvaccinated. It's just ridiculous. They're here in the Stalingrad 2.0 Northern Virginia. They're talking about, even though the teachers and children are fully vaccinated, they should still distance and wear masks to school. It's just absolute madness. It's you know, you have to, like Russ said so insightfully a moment ago, you have to break away. I mean, why would anybody go to the hospital if you got a chest cold and you have asthma? There's plenty of ways to treat it. Go see an acupuncturist, go see an herbalist. There's far better ways. I mean, the average American shithead thinking they have to go see an allopathic pseudoscientific religious clown. You know, only thing that's worth going to see corporate Western medicine is emergency trauma care or surgery. If you, like, for example, if you're in an auto wreck, you have to go to the emergency room. You have to have surgery to repair a comminuted fracture or a compound fracture. That's where they excel. But anything else, treat yourself and don't even get involved in this corrupt system.
Since you mentioned events in Virginia, I'd like to invite Mitchell, our producer, to join in. He has his own show, but he's a resident of Virginia, politically active. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Yeah, we're well outside the shadow of the District of Criminals. Down here in reality land, most of us never wore masks. Of course, there's the standard sheeple, who will always be wearing masks and bowing their knee to government tyranny. You know, what I would say is that we already knew that there were, 19 variants 8 months ago. And, you know, now they're just rolling these things out. It's a new level of bullshit with each variant. And, you know, they don't do that with influenza A or influenza B or anything else, because those are all those seasonal flus all mutate to a certain extent. There is one thing that I'm kind of concerned about, and I think this is the real reason we see this this overreach in some cases, is that government is scared shitless because they know it was engineered in a lab, it's out in nature, and they don't know how it's going to mutate. That is the biggest fear that governments have, and I think that was the biggest fear the Chinese had when they were welding people in apartment buildings. So I think we're being lied to all around. And while it's for most people, it's not a life-threatening anything, for some people it is. One of the interesting things that I saw come out said that the average age of death, you know, for COVID in some places was actually older than the medium age, you know, when people are dying. So right. It's all perception today. It's all mind control by the mind control media. And it's another way to control and divide people.
Oh, I think you got it exactly right, Mitchell. As recently observed, 1% control the world, 4% are their puppets, 90% are asleep, 5% know and try to wake the 90%. The 1% use the 4% to prevent the 5% from waking up the 90%. I think that's where we are. Russ, your thoughts?
Yeah, they definitely. And they just, they're constantly working assassinations. They're working smearing campaigns. They're working getting their people into power to lord over everybody. It's a pretty awful situation. It's very cultish type of members of the firm, brotherhood. That's what Griggs called it. She said it's a select cult, it's a secret society. They call themselves members of the firm and the brotherhood. She says it's the same thing they do in societies like Skull and Bones and Cap and Gown. They do a lot of homosexual enticements. This keeps them from telling secrets. The cream of the crop are having sex parties, orgies, etc. The anointed ones rise up much faster than those that aren't participating. They are called rising stars, and this is what the United States State Department calls those who are controlled. So that's what Cabe Griggs says about the sistema. There's people a lot more in the know than me, like Cabe Griggs. That's another person people should go listen to what she says.
Yes, yes, yes. As another example of fake news politically motivated, we have a travel alert where Florida is the epicenter of the pandemic of the unvaccinated. I believe this is because Ron DeSantis has been making a lot of impact, a real rising star among Republicans and conservatives, even Americans generally, for the skillful ways handled the pandemic. I strongly suspect the collapse of the condo was a part of this to instill fear throughout Florida, try to undermine his standing, but they're going after states where there are low vaccination rates, which also happen to be states that were strongly supportive of Donald Trump. So I have no doubt this is all politically interlocked. And if indeed the fatality rate from the jab is as astronomical as appears will play out to be the case, for the most part, the effect is to weaken your immune system. So you're not actually going to experience the consequences until the next time around you're confronted with a coronavirus you used to be able to deal with effortlessly because of the state of your system. It's now been compromised. And instead, as Giuseppe has so clearly described again and again, the body attacks itself. And from everything I can gather, it's quite a painful death that many are going to experience. In fact, we have a world-leading virologist predicting that everyone who got the jab will be dead within 5 years. Giuseppe.
Yeah, I don't know if the ascent of the death totals will be that Stark. I think that they've got it set up that a lot of these deaths are going to come from clotting from the protein spike, and they're going to be attributed to natural causes. So they're going to artificially keep the count down. So I think that most people who got the jab will die within 10 to 20 years, not five, but it's going to happen. And the evil, absolute evil setup is that they're going to blame it on everything else and accept what actually was the murder weapon, the deadly jab.
A couple of nice comments from the chat room. Z-Big Brzezinski noted it's much easier now to kill large masses of people than to control them. And those few who really stand up are silenced by the social media and the news. They're attacked. Serious, serious stuff going on a monstrous scale. I'm really now increasingly aware of how controlling the media to prevent Americans from corresponding from their friends and relatives by Facebook, by Twitter, even by YouTube about how they feel about the jab and family and the problem with coronavirus has been an indispensable element of taking control of the issue here in the United States. I believe it would have been well thoroughly exposed long before now, but for the censorship. Russ, your thoughts?
The censorship is just unbelievable. And they're actually gearing it up even more and pretty much just saying you're going to be a domestic terrorist if you're talking about this stuff. So that's pretty thinly veiled threats.
I was just censored. I found out this morning, I don't know if you guys saw the video of Kamala Over Her Harris talking about just disgusting, talking about going to get the jab and all that yesterday. And a friend of show, Charlie Robinson, who does the macro aggression popular podcast, he tweeted it and I replied under. I said, regarding Harris, which is all true, what I said, piece of shit, slut. Literal Zionist rectum liquor, yet an inspiration. And that got me knocked off Twitter.
Inspiration. We got two more callers here. We got Chicago Brew by popular demand. Brew, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Giuseppe, at least I got a good laugh out of that. Thank you.
Yeah, I got 2 points right quick. One with Russ, he was suggesting, you know, I can't figure out how these police or law enforcement or whatever would go along with this. You know, they've spent many decades now corrupting children, those that they haven't put to death or made unborn, but corrupting them by taking children from homes, putting them in pedophilic homes, and these children being just tortured by sexual abuse and other types of abuses. And these are the people that get raised, and those are most culpable to get into a lot of these agencies, just like the military and so forth. And then as long as they get to circulate that abuse, those are the people most willing to do it. And especially, and then to curtail the fork from that, you start putting a bunch of foreign nationals into a brand new country and make them law enforcement, like the time in Michigan when they saw, or Michigan or Minnesota, where they shot the Australian woman.
Minnesota.
This foreign national shoots this Australian woman unarmed in the middle of the night after she called suspected prowlers in the alley, and she gets shot. You put foreign nationals in charge, and they don't give a darn because you're not them, and they want what's yours, and they'll shoot you on sight or do whatever they're told. So
I really agree with that. That's right over the target. That's exactly what they're doing, because you got people and you got kids in foster homes that you can do abuse to and get them, you know, under your control. You've got orphans. You have
you got
a messed up country.
Kidnapped.
You got a screwed up country where you got lots of fodder for that type of stuff.
I'd like to interject for a second, which is they call it CPS, Child Protective Services, but it's actually Child Pimping Services. And last year, the actual statistics from the Department of Justice and the FBI, nearly 1 million children just disappeared. Gone. That's 1 million heartbroken mothers and fathers or what have you. And nobody does a thing about it. And yet you know, once you forensically investigate this scamdemic and maybe a couple thousand people died from the actual SARS-CoV-2, and yet nearly a million children have been, who knows what, put into sexual slavery, murdered for the adrenochrome, and yet not a peep. It's just, this country is sick beyond belief.
It's in every country. Canada, Australia, you name it, Europe, and so on and so forth. Listen, I got to go. I was on the line. Give me one more second here. Listen, this is the epiphany I had yesterday. We keep calling this depopulation event, so on and so forth, harming, and, you know, the vaccines are going to do all sorts of things, so on and so forth. But look, we're dealing with a mass extinction event, and the primary targets are white people, elderly, Christians, and then anything under that is collateral damage. Okay, this is a mass extinction on a global level, and we call it genocide because it's being carried out by our governments. But our governments are just the tool. It's coming from a global central point, and it's passed down to every nation that's involved in this. This is a mass extinction event. Okay,
yeah, we all
Chernobyl
agree.
Was a mass extinction event. Fukushima, and now you have what they're doing now. They have written in their documents for many decades, hundreds of years, to get the goyim, to get the white man, and that's that. They're doing it now. It's in process.
Brew, you're spot on. Murr from the chat room. Murr, join the conversation.
Oh, thank you. Hi. Yeah, Kay Griggs is right on, and someone up today, Jesse Zebotar, that's Czebotar, was raised to be Mother of Darkness, the top one. And she got out of the system. They call it the Illuminati system, and it's satanic. And a lot of Jews are involved in this. You remember, what was his name? Hoffman, Seymour Hoffman, his first name. He was killed on February 2, which is a big satanic holiday. And it was four Jews that were pushing the drugs that killed him. You know, it was supposedly an overdose. And he had young children that could be procured. That's what I call CPS, Child Procurement Services. And Jesse points out that what they do in the military, besides all the stupid faggotry and everything, is they get women, girls, women, here and all around the world, and they keep them at secret military bases and impregnate them and then use those infants, those children, for sacrificing. It's said that in Biltmore, in Asheville, North Carolina, there is a sacrifice done every day.
Murr, I don't want to say that sounds a little far out, but it does to me. Giuseppe, your thoughts about what Murr is claiming here?
Oh, I don't think it sounds far out at all, Jim. I mean, you can do an easy audit of how many children are missing. Look at the Department of Justice statistics and the FBI statistics. It's last year, nearly a million children, poof, just disappeared. So I completely believe that.
Yeah, they're the ones on record as being alive to begin with. A lot of these aren't even accounted for at all.
You got to understand. Now, the military is a very hierarchical organization. I think some of the claims being made about what's going on with the military may be just a tad exaggerated, my opinion. But, of course,
you remember Michael Aquino?
My experience was distant in time, so it could be that there's been enormous corruption, particularly in the Army, it would appear. I would doubt it true of the Marine Corps or even the Navy. But, Murr, go ahead.
Yeah, well, just like Masonry and Catholic Church, and you never hear about the Jewish clerics that molest children. There's some little websites that I don't even want to give out on air because then they'll be gone, but I'll post them in the chats. And there's hundreds that molest children. Well, it's right in their Talmud. It's fine to do. It's only like a poke in the eye. Yeah?
Yeah.
So in every establishment, there are many good people that go in there for the right reasons. I mean, look at Blackbird Nine talking about his going in and being, you know, an Eagle Scout and everything. So they're attracted to these, and they use that energy. The higher up they go, the worse it is. This is just a fact of life. But you have to acknowledge that there's the other side of it, the good. God's hand in everything. I think he's working through Trump. He puts people in power, and he works through them. I don't agree with everything, but this isn't a perfect world. Far from it. But I do think that Trump is part of a team that is doing way more than we realize. And if you look at Monkey Works, W-E-R-X, and I think he has some Israeli sightings or whatever. But anyway, he does these sit reps, and there's enormous amount of white hat activity taken, apparently human traffickers, to Guantanamo. Okay, and they have Ghislaine and everybody. And then there's black hat operations that are bringing in from Guatemala and Honduras plane loads, 737s, up into the middle of the country.
We hope a lot of those reports are true. Given our discussion of the assassination of Soleimani attempts on Trump, I want to mention tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, on America Media, Periscope.net, I'll be with Scott Bennett, his Great Awakening show with part three of What Happened to JFK, where I'll be talking about the sponsors, the facilitators, and the mechanics. If you want to know what actually was happening in Dealey Plaza on 22 November, this is a good one for you not to miss. It will be archived on AmericaMediaPeriscope.com, but the show will be broadcast on AmericaMediaPeriscope.net at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. It runs about an hour. Russ, it's just been sensational having you back again. And I'm sure Giuseppe will want to do it again, as do I. Further thoughts you may have about, you know, MERS observation, Mitchell, whatever.
Well, you know, brought to mind the Finders story. Now, you remember the Finders story that was out a few years ago, that they were out procuring kids and grabbing kids off the street and just kind of poo-pooed. And then all of a sudden, about, I think it was a year and a half ago, the CIA released all the documents on the Finders and pretty much confirmed the story. Yep. I have that story up. Just enter Finders, and I have the actual CIA documents. They're pretty much talking about what was happening. They were grabbing kids, pure and simple. It wasn't some wild conspiracy after all.
Well, Russ, sensational having you here. We recommend Winter Watch. Thanks to all the callers, including Brew and Murr and the Scaredy Cat and Roots from Texas and all those in the chat room. We enjoyed these with you. Sure, lot.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.